Take your Bibles, please, and turn with me to John chapter 1. Steve asked me if this pulpit was portable. I told him anything's portable if you're strong enough to pick it up, all right? John chapter 1, and in just a minute I'll be reading from verse 1. I want to ask you a question. What is a word? Well, a word is just a vehicle of communication. It's a vehicle of expression. And some people communicate harsh, unkind, angry words. But then there are other people who communicate kind, encouraging, uplifting words. Which kind of person are we drawn to? The latter. We don't like to be around people that are constantly complaining, constantly belittling, constantly being harsh with their words. We like to be around people that give out good words, encouraging words. Well, I want you to know that God is the greatest communicator of all. And God has given us His Word in at least two forms. First of all, He has given us the Word of God. Aren't you glad for the Bible? People say, I want to hear God speak. And I ask them, do you read the Bible? Well, no, I don't read the Bible very much. Oh, I would encourage you to read your Bible very much, because every time you read the Bible, you're reading the inspired, infallible, inerrant Word of God. I read it out loud because I like to hear God talk out loud, don't you? I like to read the Bible. I was on a plane the other day, and I would carry this little New Testament with me most everywhere I go, and I pulled it out, and I started reading. The guy said, what's that? I said, that's a Bible. He said, a Bible? I said, yeah. I said, do you read the Bible? He said, yeah, I read the Bible. And we talked a little bit, and I could tell he didn't really read it that much, but he wanted to, and he wanted to know more about the Bible. Why do we read the Bible? To impress people? No. To make people think we're spiritual? No. We do it so that we can hear God talk to us. Because if you love somebody, you talk with them, and you just enjoy hearing people that you love. And I love to hear God talk to me through the Scriptures. I have been told before that, some people may not like my preaching, because all I do is go through the Bible. They said, I like to hear stories. Well, I like to hear stories too, but I like to go through the Bible, don't you? But now listen to me. As much as I love the Bible and the words in the Bible, this, now don't throw a rock at me until you hear the whole thing, okay? This is not God's ultimate word to mankind. When God got ready to give His ultimate word, He didn't just send a book. He sent the hero of this book, the Lord Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ is the living Word of God. Jesus said to His Jewish opponents, you search the Scriptures because you think that in them you have eternal life. But it is these that point or bear witness to me. And you're not willing to come to me that you may have life. Oh, I thank God for the Scriptures, but I'm in love, and I love the Scriptures, but I'm in love with the one to whom they point. This is a love letter that God sends to you so that you will be in love, not just with the love letter, but the one who wrote the love letter, and that is Jesus. So that's what Christmas is about, God sending us His Word. I love the Gospel of John. I'm reading it right. I just finished reading it, and I love it. It's just so wonderful, so theological, so beautiful, but so much about Christ. I mean, it's just amazing. And these words, the theologians refer to it as the prologue, the word at the beginning. The prologue, the beginning words of this are really famous. Listen to this. In the beginning, John 1:1, was the Word. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things came into being by Him, and apart from Him, nothing came into being that has come into being. In Him was life. In whom? In the Word. In Him, the Word was life, and the life was the light of men, and the light shines in the darkness. How many of you know that we live in a dark world? Anybody know that? The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness could not comprehend it. It could not extinguish it, couldn't understand it, didn't know what to do with it. Now skip down to verse 14. And here's what John says, and the Word became flesh. Let's all say that together. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory. Glory as of the only begotten from the Father, full of grace and truth. Can I have an amen in the house of God? That's Christmas right there. That's Christmas. Jesus, the Word of God. Jesus, according to this text, is the eternal Word of God. There's never been a time when this Word was not being spoken, that Jesus did not exist. Look at verse 1. It says, in the beginning was the Word. Then in verse 2, He was in the beginning with God. Sounds a lot like the first verses and the first words of the whole Bible, does it not? Genesis 1:1, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. In the beginning was the Word. What does this mean? It means that the same God who was in the beginning in Genesis is the same God, the Word, who is in the beginning of John's gospel. Jesus is the eternal Son of God. At the nanosecond when God created the universe, somebody already existed, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, and Jesus was the Word of God. Jesus was the Son of God. Jesus is just like the Father, just like the Spirit, from everlasting to everlasting. He is the sovereign Son of God who is also God the Son. He is eternal. I was reading, as I said, in John's Gospel this last week, and I came across in John chapter 8, Jesus was talking to some people, and He was saying to them, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free, in John chapter 8. And they were a little taken back by that. They said, you know, we're Jewish. We have never been slaves to anyone. And He wasn't talking about being slaves to people. He was talking about being slaves to sin. And did you know, before you know Jesus, you're a slave to sin. And so Jesus was just saying, you know, you got to know Me. You got to abide in My Word. You got to really stay in the Word. And they took exception to this, because Jesus said, if you follow Me, all of My followers, all who obey My teachings, you'll never die. They said, now wait a minute. Wait a minute. Whoa. Wait a minute. Abraham, Moses, who do you think you are? Listen to what they said in John 8. Verse 52, the Jews said to Him, now, we know that you have a demon. That's pretty strong words right there when you think God has a demon. Abraham died. The prophets also, you say, if anyone keeps My word, he'll never taste death. Surely you're not greater than our father Abraham who died. Answer is, yes, he is. The prophets died too. Whom do you make yourself out to be? Jesus answered, if I glorify Myself, My glory is nothing. It is My Father who glorifies Me, of whom you say He is our God, and you have not come to know Him, but I know Him. And if I say I don't know Him, I'll be a liar like you. But I do know Him, and I keep His word. Your father Abraham rejoiced to see My day, and he saw it and was glad. So the Jews said to Him, you are not yet 50 years old, and you're telling us you've seen Abraham? Jesus said to them, truly, truly, I say to you, before Abraham was born, you ready for this? I am. Let's all say those last two words together. I am. Therefore, they picked up stones to throw at Jesus, but he hid himself and went out of their temple. Now, why did they get so upset? Because when he said, before Abraham was, I am. That goes back to Exodus 3, does it not? When Moses was at the burning bush and God was calling him through that burning bush, that angel was speaking, and God said, I want you to go and I want you to be the one that liberates my people from Egyptian bondage. He says, when I go to Pharaoh and tell him that God, the Lord, has sent me, who will I say it was who sent me? And God said to him, you tell old Pharaoh, I am who I am. He said, thus you shall say to the sons of Israel, I am has sent me to you. That is the Hebrew verb of being. All you need to know about that is it means this. God, when God said, I am, he says, I used to be, that is, I was, I am, and I always will be. I like what S.M. Lockridge said. He said, God is God. He's on his throne. You cannot elect him. You cannot fire him. And you cannot impeach him. God is God. And so Jesus identified himself with that God. And those Jews knew it. And that's why they were trying to stone him for blaspheming in their minds. But he wasn't blaspheming. He is the eternal I am. Jesus in the beginning was the Word. Jesus was in the beginning. He was in the beginning with God. Now, that can't be said for any other leader of any other major religion in the whole world. No. Jesus is the eternal Son of God. Jesus alone. I mean, he was there before the angels were there. He was there before his loving parents were there. He was there before the star that showed the wise men where he was, before that star ever even existed. Jesus was there before the angels that were singing that night to the shepherds. Jesus was there before any of the trees had been planted from which the manger was made and from which the cross would be made. Jesus was there before the stone was even existing that would try to keep him in the grave. Jesus is the eternal Son of God. From everlasting to everlasting, in the beginning was the Word. He was in the beginning with God. Number two, Jesus is also, if you're eternal, obviously he's the divine Word of God. He's not just the eternal Word of God. He is the divine Word of God. Look at verse 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. Now let's all say those next words, please. And the Word was God. Jesus was, is, and always will be God. Just as much God as God the Father. Just as much God as God the Holy Spirit. Jesus is divine. He's holy. He's high. He's exalted. He's lifted up. He's worshiped by angels and saints as God himself. He's 100% God, 100% man simultaneously. He's the divine Word of God. I've witnessed before, maybe you have too, to Jehovah Witnesses. And I tell them, oh, I'm a Jehovah Witness. They say, do what? I say, yep, Jesus is Jehovah. Jesus is the divine Word of God. He's not just the Son of God. He is God the Son. They say, oh, no, no, no. I say, oh, yes, yes, yes. The Bible says that. I had a Mormon neighbor in Texas. And one day on Saturday morning, the Jehovah Witnesses came in to see me. And I'm not saying I'm anything special or anything, but there were two young teenage Jehovah Witness boys, and they came in there and they started telling me their stuff about Jesus is just the Son of God. Well, I took the scripture and showed them over and over where Jesus is God in the flesh and all this. And suddenly one of their leaders came in to get them because the boys were starting really to listen to me, and they got him out. On the way out, I just said, by the way, everything I said is true. And as I'm talking to these boys, you can't make this stuff up. My Mormon neighbor shouted to the Jehovah Witnesses, I told you not to go over there. Amen. So I said, y'all come back. And Bruce, you come on over too. Amen. Anyway, I've talked to Mormons over the years, and they said, no. See, Jesus was just a man who became God, and like him, we are just people, and we can become God. I got news for you. And for the Mormons, I'm not mad at you. I love you. In fact, that Mormon neighbor made me a prayer bench that I have in my office back there right now. And I don't pray Mormon prayers, if you're worried about that. But, I tell them, I say, you are a human. You can't become God, but that you've got it just backwards. Jesus was not a man who became God. Jesus was God who became man. So you got it backwards. And I've talked to Muslims. How do you get to heaven? Oh, you work your way up. Who is Jesus? Oh, he's a great prophet. We believe he's a prophet, but we don't believe he died on the cross. No. Jesus is a great prophet. I said, oh, he was more than a prophet. He's the one that the prophets wrote about. He is God in the flesh, and he did die on the cross. God loved you so much that he paid the penalty for your sins by dying as an atoning sacrifice for you. I've talked to the Jews about Jesus. They say, oh, he was a good man. He had some good teachings. He might have been a traveling rabbi, but he wasn't the Messiah, because the Messiah could not be crucified, because it says in Deuteronomy that if you are crucified, you are cursed. I got news for you. I said, that's exactly why Messiah had to die, because in Galatians, Paul said in Galatians 3:13, Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree. I thank God that Jesus bore my curse on the cross. So yes, Jesus is the divine word of God. Only God could cause the blind to see. Only God could cause the lame to walk. Only God could cause the mute and the dumb to talk. Only God could cause the deaf to hear, the leper to be cleansed, the dead to rise, the lad's lunch to feed 5,000 men plus their families. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And here I like to say it. I love to say this little phrase. And if you ever was God, you still is God. Amen. He's the divine word of God. Number three, Jesus is the creative word of God. Here I am just going through the Bible. Look at verse 3. All things came into being through him. And apart from him, Jesus, the word of God, nothing came into being that has come into being. Old Herschel Hobbes said it this way. Jesus is the agent through whom God created everything in the universe, from solar systems to atoms. Everything came through Jesus. Think about the first verse in the Bible. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. There we see God the Father in creation. Think about the second verse in the Bible. Genesis 1:2, the earth was formless and void. The darkness was over the surface of the deep. The Spirit of God was moving over the surface of the waters. There we have the Holy Spirit involved in creation. In the second verse of the Bible, where's Jesus? Verse 3. Genesis 1:3, then God said, there he is, he's the Word. Then God said, let there be light. And all that could happen was what God commanded. There was light. Who was the Word of God speaking? Jesus Christ, God's eternal word, Jesus Christ, God's divine word, Jesus Christ, God's creative word. When you go to Mark chapter 4, verse 35, you'll read that Jesus was tired. He told his disciples, let's get in this boat, let's go to the other side. Now, you know what? He already told them we're going to the other side. If they had just believed the promise of God, the storm would not have shaken them up as much as it did. But they went out there, and Lord willing, I'll be there at the end of January on the Sea of Galilee, and we'll be out there, and we'll be right where they were when the storm came, and all of a sudden the water starts getting in the boat, and Jesus is asleep at the back. He is worn out. Physical, the human part of Jesus just worn out, and so he's back there resting, which I would strongly suggest to some of you, if you're tired, guess what the answer for that is? Go to sleep. Get some rest. I can't, Brother Steve. Yes, you can. And I promise you, you will enjoy Christmas more, and everybody else will, because you won't be irritable because you got some sleep. Amen? Just a little thought there. I hope that was from the Lord anyway. All right. Jesus is resting back there, and he's all just totally not even thinking about it. He'd already told them they're going to the other side, and they say, Lord, don't you care? And he wakes up, and how can you do this unless you're God? How can you speak to air? How can you speak to wind and to waves? How can you speak to wind and say, hush, and it obey you? Be still to the water. And it was just as calm as it could be. Just like that. How do you do that? You can only do it if you are the creative word of God. You see, the water and the wind obeyed their creator. That's what they knew, that voice. That voice had called them into existence. And Jesus, when he said, stop, they had to stop. They had no option. They had to stop. Aren't you grateful that God is in charge? Aren't you grateful that Jesus really is the creative word of God? I love what it says in Colossians. Paul said in Colossians 1, verses 15 through 17, he is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For by him, Jesus, all things were created, both in the heavens, on earth, visible, invisible, thrones, dominions, rulers, authorities, all things. Everybody say all things. All things have been created through him, or by him, and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. I'm going to sleep like a baby tonight, not worrying about how in the world is our earth going to stay on exactly the right orbiting trajectory. Because if we move in too close, we'll get burned out by the sun. If we go out too far, we're going to freeze to death. I'm not worried about all that, because in Jesus, all things, everybody say all things hold together. I'm not going to worry about it. I'm not going to worry about my body just exploding because all of a sudden nothing's there to hold it together. Jesus is holding my body together. And listen to me, if you will come to faith in Christ, Jesus will hold your life together. And when everybody else is having problems and everybody else is responding to those problems, everybody does have problems, but if everybody else is responding to those problems frantically, you have peace, you have joy, you have love, you have calmness. I talked to one of our choir members today, and they've all raptured out. Amen. They're all gone. They were all saved. All right, good. I turned around and said, where'd they go? What's going on? I talked to one of them today, and she says the same thing every Sunday morning. I was going down to pray with some men, walking down the hallway, and I said, how are you? She said, I'll meet her almost every Sunday. She's just as happy as she can be. She says, I'm blessed. And she just goes off, man. I've had a great week. You know what? I told my wife, I said, that's the kind of people I like to be around. Now, why do they have that? Because they know the Lord is the one who created them and saved them. He is the word of God for them. And he's holding their life together. No matter what, going through cancer, Jesus will hold your life together. Going through a divorce, Jesus will hold your life together. Going through a rebellious child, Jesus will hold your life together. going through a difficult relationship, Jesus will hold your life together. And when all other people around you are falling apart, Jesus Christ will hold your life together. I got more things to say, but I need to press on. Number four, Jesus is the enlightening Word of God. Oh, the illumination spiritually that He gives is just beyond comprehension. Look at verse 4. In Him was life. Not in a bottle of beer, not in a bottle of wine, not in some immoral relationship. In Jesus was life. And the life was the light of men or mankind. The light shines in the darkness. That's just what light does. It contrasts the darkness and conflicts the darkness and conquers the darkness. And the darkness did not comprehend it. Life was and is in Jesus. Sin brought about the darkness of death, but Jesus restored life, and His life spiritually illuminates men with the light of men. Think about Paul on the road to Damascus. If anybody was walking in darkness, it was Paul. Paul was arresting Christian men and women and leaving their children as orphans, literally. And he was having people sentenced to death and probably participated in the execution. Paul was one bad hombre. But you know what? Jesus was stronger than Paul. And when Jesus showed up the very first time Paul ever saw Jesus, all he saw was a blast of light. Just all of a sudden, Jesus just shows up. Wham! There he is. Saul, Saul, why? Why? Why are you persecuting me? I want to tell you something. When the devil puts a hand on one child of God, he is touching Jesus Christ, because you're part of the body of Christ. Why are you persecuting me? Now, this is not when he got saved. Listen to what he said. Who are you, Lord? He didn't know who he was. That's not a sinner's prayer. He didn't get saved until 3 days later. You can read about it. He talks about it. When Ananias came along and shared the gospel with him, and Ananias asked him this great question. I believe it's in Acts 22. He said, now, why do you delay? Arise and be baptized. Now, listen, washing away your sins, calling on His name. Paul hadn't even had his sins washed away yet. Paul had not called upon the name of the Lord yet, and you can't get saved until you call upon the name of the Lord. And so Paul, this light just blinded him, and for 3 days he was blinded by the light of the world. But on that third day he was enlightened by the light of the world. The scales fell off of his eyes and off of his heart. Simultaneously, when Ananias witnessed to him and shared the gospel with him, and he got saved and he received Christ and he got baptized, and literally the world has never been the same. Oh, Jesus is the enlightening Word of God, and I thank God that He said it in John chapter 8, verse 12. Then Jesus again spoke to them, saying, I am the light of the world. He who follows me will not walk in the darkness, but will have the light of life. Oh, thank you, Lord. You are the enlightening Word of God. And then one more thing. Oh, Jesus, He's God's eternal Word. He's God's divine Word. He's God's creative Word. He's God's illuminating Word. But thank the Lord that He is God's incarnate Word. He is the incarnate Word of God. He is Emmanuel that they sang about a moment ago. God with us. Look at verse 14. In fact, it's so good. Let's read it together. Read it with me, please, from the screen. So we'll all read the same thing. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we saw His glory, glory as of the only begotten from the Father, full of grace and truth. The Word became flesh and dwelt for us. That word dwelt is the word for tabernacled. It turns a noun into a verb. Jesus is the one who came to be with us temporarily on this earth, but eternally throughout heaven. He is the one who dwells with us. He spreads His tabernacle over us. He was born. He lived a sinless life, an atoning death. He rose from the dead. He ascended back to heaven. But now he saves us and lives with us and tabernacles with us. And we saw his glory, he said. It was the glory as of the only begotten from the Father, full of grace and truth. He is the only begotten from the Father. That only begotten word is monogenes. Monogenes means the one and only unique Son of God. If you're a Christian, you're a child of God. But there is a unique Son of God, Jesus Christ, the monogenes, the only one that is full, not just partially, but full to the brim of two things, grace and truth. And normally we've got some grace in us and some truth in us. But if we want to know the one who's filled with grace and truth, it's the monogenes. It's the only begotten Son of God is Jesus. The night before Jesus died, one of his disciples, Philip, asked Jesus a question. I'm so grateful, by the way, that they didn't know that these questions and answers would be recorded, or because some of them would have just kept their mouths closed. Amen? If you had known that somebody was going to analyze your question for all eternity, you know. But they asked a question. Lord, Jesus is talking, you know, about heaven and talking about, you know, I'm going to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I'll receive you into myself there where I am. You may be also, I'm the way, the truth, and life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. And he was just talking. And Philip just stopped. He said, Lord, show us the Father. And that's enough for us. Lord, would you just show us the Father? Kind of like in the Old Testament, Moses, show me your glory. Would you just show me the Father? And look at Jesus' answer. If you don't think Jesus claimed to be God, how in the world do you have to explain verse 9? Jesus said to him, have I been so long with you, and yet you have not come to know me, Philip? He who has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, show us the Father? I am God. I am the incarnate Word of God. I am not just the Word of God. I am God the Word. I am God in flesh. All other religions, I've told you this many times, they have this setup, this religious system that if you go through the right hoops, you work your way to God. God said, you'll never make it. I'm perfect. I'm holy. So I'm coming to you. And he did it through Jesus Christ. Philippians 2, 5. Have this attitude in yourselves, which was also in Christ Jesus, who although he existed in the form of God, there's his eternality, did not regard equality with God, there's his divinity, a thing to be grasped, but he emptied himself. There's his servanthood, taking the form of a bondservant, being made in the likeness of men. There is the incarnate Word of God. Being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on the cross. There's the sacrificial Son of God. For this reason also, God highly exalted him. There is the exalted, ascended Son of God at the right hand of the Father, bestowed on him the name which is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus, of those every knee will bow, of those who are in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue shall confess, say it with me now, that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Oh, Jesus is God in the flesh. And when I could not get to Jesus, or to God rather, and when you could not get to God, God came to us in Jesus Christ. I was sinking deep in sin, far from the peaceful shore, very deeply stained within, seeking to rise no more, but the master of the sea heard my despairing cry. From the waters he lifted me, now safe and I. What did the psalmist say? He pulled me out of the miry clay, set my feet on a rock, and he put a new song in my heart. When you couldn't reach God, God lovingly reached you through the incarnate Word of God, Jesus Christ. I've got a box of letters. Some say, are you sentimental, Brother Steve? I'm beyond that. I'm sappy. I've got a box of letters, a shoebox full of letters that Donna wrote me when we were engaged. And every once in a while, I just pull them out and I read them. I've read those words. I never get tired. And boy, when she writes on there, baby doll, I just go nuts. I'm just telling you, I like it. I said, there it is, right there. Man, look, I'm her baby doll. I love those letters. I love those words. But I tell you something I love a whole lot more. I love the one who wrote them. I love my wife. I enjoy just hanging out with her. I'm not trying to impress you. If you don't like me talking about that, too bad. I just enjoy being with her. I'd rather be with her when we're upset with each other than with you if we're okay. I just enjoy being around her. And you know, I thank God for the love letter that God gave us, don't you? I thank God for this love letter, Brother Drew. I read it, and it refreshes me. But I even thank God more for the one that this book points to and the one who inspired this book, and that is the Lord Jesus Christ. If you don't know the author of this book, that's what Christmas is all about. It's one thing to read the letter. It's another thing to know the author. And I want to ask you today to come to Jesus, to be born again, to be saved, to have all your sins forgiven, and to come to know the living Word of God. Father, I pray in the name of Jesus that someone today would say yes to Jesus Christ. In His name I pray. If that's your prayer, say amen.